Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast.
Good morning. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, John 17, 6 through 19. Jesus is speaking to God during the Last Supper about his disciples. I've made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today is Mother's Day and also the celebration of the Christian home. And we do that as part of our Methodist tradition. And whether or not you are a mother, or you may become a mother soon, or you have adopted or nurtured or have mothered others, there is one fact that each of us in this room have in common, that we all have been born of a mother. And a majority of us were raised by a mother. So here are the top 10 things that your mother would never have said to you. Number 10, bath. You don't need one for a few more weeks. Besides, we're helping California conserve water. 9, how on earth can you see the TV sitting back so far? 8, yeah, I used to skip school a lot, too. 7, just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery. 6, here, come here, let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. 5, go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed and walk him and clean him and pick up his poop every day. 4, well, if Bobby's mama says it's okay, that's good enough for you. 3, the curfew is just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. 2, I don't have a tissue with me. Just use your sleeve. And 1, don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve. While neither you nor your mother may have ever uttered those words to children, we are reminded of those who have mothered us throughout the years and the wisdom that they have actually imparted within each of us. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he made sure that he imparted his final messages and often in the form of prayer to his disciples, just like the one we read today in John chapter 17. So let us think on these things. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts make them acceptable in thy sight, our God, our mothering nurturer, and our Redeemer. Amen. On the way to yesterday's most charming United Methodist Women's Brunch, where the women hosted five tables of mothers and daughters, and where Muriel filled a table of adopted daughters, and where we experienced a lovely Mother's Day hula performance with Patty and her hula sisters. On the way over, my daughter Kyra said in the car, out of the blue, "Mom, can you feel your heart and tell me how much you love me?" Me, thinking that I was being super clever, replied, "My heart loves you so much it won't stop beating." And yet, on that same day, after the Mother's Day brunch, desperately needing a nap, the same kid told me on the car ride home that she didn't love me anymore because I wanted her to put her seatbelt on so she'd be safe. And before making up, she said between tears how hard it was to be a three-year-old. And then retracting the "she didn't love me" to "I only love you just a little bit right now." Sigh. The big heart melts and the big heart aches of being a mother. Too bad there aren't any books on how to parent a three-nager. Oh, wait. There are literally thousands of books on how to parent children. But today we're using the book to get us through the ups and downs of motherhood and mothering. There are many traditional celebrations of mothers and motherhood that have existed throughout the world over thousands of years, such as the Greek cult to Cybele and Roman festival of Hilaria, or the Christian Mothering Sunday celebration, originally a commemoration of the Mother Church. The modern Mother's Day that began in the United States was at the initiative of Anne Reeves Jarvis. She started in the early 20th century, first celebrated in 1908, when Anna Jarvis held a memorial for her mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. Her campaign was to make Mother's Day a recognized holiday in the United States, and she began that campaign in 1905, the year that her mother, Anne Reeves Jarvis, died. Anne Jarvis had been a peace activist who cared for wounded soldiers on both sides of the Civil War and created Mother's Day week work clubs to address public health issues. Anna Jarvis wanted to honor her mother by continuing the work that she started and to set aside a day to honor all mothers, because she believed a mother is the person who has done more for you than anyone else in the world. In 1908, the U.S. Congress rejected a proposal to make Mother's Day an official holiday, joking that they would also have to proclaim it Mother-in-Law Day. However, and what's wrong with mother-in-laws? They're wonderful. However, owing to the efforts of Anna Jarvis, by 1911, all U.S. states observed this holiday, with some of them officially recognizing Mother's Day as a local holiday. And in 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation designating Mother's Day, held on the second Sunday in May, as a national holiday to honor mothers. There's a little known fact, though, that although Anna Jarvis was successful in founding Mother's Day, she became very resentful of the commercialism of the holiday. She was not a fan, and she was even arrested for disturbing the peace. But that's a story for another day. I have been blessed with many strong women in my life. One mother I always have looked up to has been my grandmother. She was a great cook. She was very resourceful. She was conscientious. And she was super sassy and very lovable. I attribute a lot of my spirituality to having watched her during her morning and bedtime prayers. I learned from her faithfulness to her family and to the church. But she was also our disciplinarian. We made her chase us around the house when we did bad things because we thought we were faster. We weren't. She was our cook, cooking us breakfasts, sometimes lunches, and always our dinners. She was our launderer, not money, clothes. She was our playmate. She was our after-school tutor, amongst many things. But I also remember her words of wisdom. "No make shame," she would say in her Hawaiian pidgin version, warning us to not make any trouble or bring shame to our family, if you know what I mean, in ways of respecting ourselves, our bodies, and the family name. Three words, "no make shame," and I knew what she meant. My mom's same words of wisdom had a more theological spin, and she would always say as we left the door, "Remember who you are and whose you are." The message was the same, "no make shame," except that Mom reminded us that God, too, was watching us and was with us as well. In the Job chapter 17, verses 6 to 19 text today, I likened Jesus' prayer for his disciples one of mothers, a prayer that mothers want their best for their children, mothers who want them to make good choices, mothers who, even in their departing, their voice is always still with them. The text reads, "I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place, God. Then you gave them to me. And they have done now what you said. They know now beyond the shadow of a doubt that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them. And they took it and were convinced that I came from you. They believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those that you gave me. For they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours and yours mine, and my life is on display in them. For I'm no longer going to be visible in this world. They'll continue in this world. While I return to you, Holy God, guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me so that they can be one heart and mind, as we are one heart and mind. As long as I was with them, I guided them and I guarded them in the pursuit of the life that you gave through me. But now, God, I'm returning to you. I'm saying these things in the world's hearing so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways, just as I didn't join the world's ways. I'm not asking that you take them out of this world, but that you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is consecrating truth. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. I'm consecrating myself for their sakes, so they'll be truth consecrated in their mission." What a prayer. I imagine that was similar to the prayer that my grandmother might have said at the foot of her bed on the nights that I was out partying with friends, and she prayed hard that I know make shame. That her flock would be watched over and would come home safely. And would remember that we were loved. And in the lessons, in the stories, and in the recipes that she left with me and my sisters and my mom, we continue to feel her presence with us after she passed more than 8 years ago. And now I hear myself whispering similar prayers for my own children. I did not realize how hard raising children, let alone having children, would be. I had always felt called to be a mother, whether the children were my biological children or not. For years after my husband and I were married, we had difficulty conceiving and were often put off by others when we were asked, "When are you having children?" It's natural to ask a couple that, though. But without knowing the circumstances of the person you are asking, it gets kind of sticky. But even though for those who knew our circumstances, I guess it was kind of sticky, too. After several miscarriages and IVF trials, our rainbow baby, Kyra, made me a biological mother. And then, miraculously, Amara made us parents again. But before that, I had counted dozens and dozens of teenagers and children put under my care in our youth and our children's ministries as my own. After all, I did feel some ownership in helping to raise them. and our nephews and nieces and the godchildren that are mine and Andy's. They are our babies too. And if you put it that way, I've had the opportunity to mother for a very long time. And I had good role models, and with the help of God, teaching me how to do it. For some, motherhood has given purpose to your life. God has called you to be a mother, and you are living out your call in this sacred vocation. Most days, you experience the divine in your role as a mother. Through life circumstances, though, many others have not experienced the blessing of motherhood, or not just yet. Some have not found the right spouse or partner with whom to raise a child. A single parenting might not be an option. Some have chosen not to have biological children. Others suffer from different conditions that prohibit them from birthing a child. Many women in our midst have recently experienced miscarriages. Some we don't even know. Some have given birth to stillborns. Some have experienced an unsuccessful adoption attempt, or given up a child for adoption, or have lost a child because of death. But all women are of value and are still equally cherished by God. In looking at the scripture, we can see that motherhood is not a prerequisite to being useful in the eyes of God. In Esther, Queen Esther defies the laws of the kingdom and enters the king's hall to stop the genocide of the Jewish people. Deborah was a judge and prophetess. Because of this role, she is called a mother in Israel. Furthermore, Mary Magdalene is never portrayed as a mother, but as a woman of great faithfulness. She is the first to see the risen Christ and spread the good news in John chapter 20. Their calls from God had nothing to do with whether or not they had children. God continues to use the gifts of all women in our society. God looks at each of us as complete humans just today, just as God does in Genesis chapter 1. With this being said, motherhood should be entered into with love and freedom. Motherhood and mothering are beautiful calls and come in different ways, shapes, and forms, just as mothers do. And mothering is not always an easy task. We remember Sarah as she struggled as she watched Hagar give birth to Ishmael. We watch Rachel as she watched Leah give birth to her husband's children, while Rachel went year after year without birthing her own children. Tamar, daughter-in-law of Judah, watched as her husband's died, wondering if she would find the man who would get her pregnant. The daughter of Jephthah mourned the end of her life with her friends, knowing she would never bear children. Naomi lost both of her sons, and Ruth never had a child with her husband before he died. Hannah dealt with Peninnah and her husband's other wife, as she teased Hannah relentlessly for being childless. Michael never bore the children of David. Elizabeth suffered the upset for many years, never being able to have children with Zechariah. Here we have a cloud of witnesses to childlessness and suffering. While most of these women eventually did give birth, their suffering is real. We see the presence of God with each of these women, as their wombs may have been closed or their circumstances did not afford them children. But these women were called because their stories have been told. As a church, we extend prayers to all women on Mother's Day. We remember the women with many children, young children, a child who has recently died, mothers who have passed, those who have experienced miscarriage, infertility, or painful births, those who have broken relationships with children, and children with their mothers, and women who have not experienced motherhood at all. Mother's Day is a time to appreciate the contributions of all women. Mothering is more than just being a mother. Our churches and societies are filled with nurturing, encouraging, and strong women, whether they are mothers or teachers or pastors or neighbors or leaders or any woman who takes us under their wings. That being said, in this week preceding Mother's Day, word has circulated around into the United Methodist Church that our greater United Methodist Church had failed by a thin margin to approve two constitutional amendments affirming the equality and rights of girls, women, and other vulnerable groups. This is in our own United Methodist Church system. The failure to ratify these amendments approved by the 2016 General Conference was disappointing, sending a negative message to many regarding the equality of women in the United Methodist Church. Many bishops, many leaders of the church offered words of comfort and conviction with this disheartening news, a running subtext of conversations. Their messages affirming the lives and worth of women and girls and equality for all. Shortly after their comments and statements went viral, it was announced that one of those amendments would be headed back to the annual conferences for a new vote. A substantive mistake was uncovered in the legislation, which was put before lay and clergy members, necessitating this rare action. So that there is still hope that as a church, we can do the right thing and this can be reversed. And that we can still consider all, meaning all, being equal. And as we have experienced more than ever within the last 2 years, even more so, women are of sacred worth and no one should be telling you any differently. With the Time's Up movement and the women's rights taking center stage in a time that it feels that women's rights are taking a step backward into the Handmaid's Tale. It's time, sisters and brothers, where the women who care and nurture are lifted up and affirmed for their worth and their value. One of my closest friends and fellow United Methodist Church colleague shared a reflection which I adapted for Mother's Day for this morning. My friend Kim is a mother of three, a pastor, a wife, a doula. She wrote, "It always feels uncomfortable to me to lift up mothers on Mother's Day, but I know it's important to a lot of people. A few years back, I started calling it Mothering Sunday. I wrote this for the mothers that are in my life. While being a mother is important, mothering allows all of us to be able to love a variety of people in our lives." So this is her Mothering Sunday adapted. For the mother who feels lost in motherhood, the carpool, the laundry, the cleaning, the lunches, the pickup, the drop-off, the pickups again, the drop-offs again, the practice, and the practice. The constant monitoring of all things. Did I mention the laundry? This day we honor all that you do. For the mother who has lost a child, the arms that ache, the longing to hear their voice just one more time, the grief that never goes away, but just becomes a new normal, now having the new awareness and sensitivity to the preciousness of life, having the feelings of wanting to join them in death and trying with all your might to fight your way back to living again. We honor your loss today. For the mother who didn't parent her own child, whether it is due to adoption or life's difficult circumstances, the anxiety, the questioning, the fear, wondering, was it the right decision, the feelings of loss and pain, the prayers that are raised, hoping that it will all work out for what is best. We sit with your often silent grief. For the mother who parented a child that wasn't her own, she comforts, loves, cries, prays, and kisses boo-boos with no distinction if they were her own child or a sister's, a friend's, or just a kid who needed some love. She teaches them Sunday school lessons. She takes your kids to theme parks and gives your children lipstick and makeovers. I added that part. Her heart is so big that it seems to have enough room for all the children. She may be the stepmom, the auntie, the church aunties and grandmothers, the godmother, the doggy mom, the neighbor, the teacher, the mentor, or your best friend's mom. The one that you can always count on. Today we hug you for the way that you stepped up to the plate and gave us what we needed before we even knew what we needed. For the mother who longs to have a child woven into her womb but cannot. Month after month, hopes dashed. Friends being delicate with your feelings as they gently tell you they are expecting again. The tears roll as you try to convince them that they are happy tears. And they are. You are happy for them. And still sad for you. Wondering why is it so easy for everyone else. Feelings of being lost and alone. Having everyone around you give you suggestions about the most intimate parts of your life. The stress, the pain, the feelings of despair. Every time you have to go through another kind of treatment, you ask yourself, is it worth it? Do I really want it that bad? And then in the very next breath, you are taken out by the sheer magnitude of how much you want a baby. As you struggle, may God give you what you need, when you need it, over and over again. For the woman who has suffered a miscarriage, the baby was there and now it is not. How can this be real? Did I do something wrong? Was it my fault? How do you mourn someone you never met? You cry and you cry. You mark the years as they go by. They would have turned 5 this year. We hear your cries and honor your babies today. We say a prayer for them as they have said so many prayers for us in the past. Today we lift up the Deborahs, the Elizabeths, the Esthers, the Hagars, the Hannahs, the Leahs, the Marthas, the Marys, the Mary Magdalenes, the Naomis, and the Orpahs. And we can even pray for the Oprahs, the Sarahs, the Ruths, and so many others as our mothers. The women of the Bible who paved the way for us here and now, who mothered regardless of what the situation appeared to be. For the women before us who are saints in our lives. The women who have bravely and courageously led us to the places that we have come today. The women who have nurtured and loved us for who we are and whose we are. We are here because of them. So happy Mothering Day to all the women of North Hollywood FUMC and to all who mother others. We thank you, God, for you. Amen.